Drive Time on RTÉ Radio 1, sponsored by Zurich. When investment performance matters, make sure your savings are with Zurich. Visit Zurich.ie to find out more.
Orla, thank you very much indeed. Have you heard about the new planning guidelines issued by the Department of Housing? They're recommending that car parking spaces should be reduced at all urban locations. The guidelines say that parking could even be eliminated in new housing developments, which have good access to urban services and public transport, they say. However, it says that where car parking is reduced, local authorities must be satisfied that there are solutions for workers and residents, including car and bike sharing schemes. Well, to discuss the future of the private car in our towns and cities, I'm joined by Professor in Transportation at Trinity College Dublin, Brian Caulfield, and also by Alan Farrell, Fine Gael TD for Dublin Fine Gael. You're both very welcome to the programme. Brian Caulfield, I'll start with you. These new guidelines published by the Department of Housing, as I say, will see developments built with smaller gardens and fewer car parking spaces, if at all, and increased bike storage facilities. Do you agree with the proposals, the direction of travel?
I would agree with the direction of travel, pardon the pun, but I'd like to see a little bit more information. And I think one of the key points you've just made there is that the public transport and the transport options are sufficient for the people that are living in those locations. And the definition of that, I think, will be very important. The document doesn't really get into it. It talks about, you know, the number of people per square hectare or per hectare in the cities. But it doesn't get into what is good public transport. And it lumps Cork and Dublin in together and then the other three cities together. So what's good public transport in Dublin may not be the same in Cork, Limerick, Cork or Waterford.
Because when you ask why people aren't using public transport, very often they say it doesn't fit my schedule or my routine or it's slower. And this doesn't pull any punches, this proposal, because they're saying that the car parking spaces should be minimised. And this is a quote, minimised, substantially reduced or wholly eliminated in locations that have good access to urban service and public transport. So that is, as you point out, Brian, the key sticking point here.
It is, and what that good public transport is. But it's not something that the department picked out of thin air. It's in the regional strategies for all of the cities. It's in the climate action plan that we do this and we remove car parking from our city centres. But also it's something that we see a growing trend in right across the planet. And it's not just in the typical cases that you would maybe hear me talking about, you know, in Amsterdam or Copenhagen. It's in big cities in the US, it's in Australia, that they have these transit-oriented design whereby housing is integrated with transport. You've got the two planners speaking at the same time. And when you provide housing for people, that there are the alternatives in public transport, walking and cycling. But then, as you also mentioned, that there perhaps is, you remove the car park and there's maybe, you know, 20% of, instead of all the cars that are there, maybe 20% are there and they're shared electric cars that people can get access to.
Okay, let me bring in Alan Farrell, who's a long-standing Fine Gael TD for Dublin Fine Gael. And this problem, if it arises, Alan, you would be hearing an awful lot about, or people like you representing a constituency like this. Is this the future then? If you're buying in a new development, forget your car.
Well, good evening, Cormac. And I certainly think that I would have significant concerns with the new guidelines, broadly in line with what Brian has outlined. And I think that there is the potential for them to be a recipe for problems in the future, because the entire plan, as published yesterday, is predicated or contingent on transport options. And it is often the case, unfortunately, that those transport options are just not there yet. Now, we have put very significant sums of money, both in the past government and in the present government, into public transport, a lot of which we're starting to see being delivered, such as the Bus Connects project, which is not just for Dublin, but also for Cork and Waterford and others, I think Galway as well. Mm-hmm. But they are in their infancy, and we are seeing some of them being delivered, some spines, as they're calling them, being delivered very successfully, which will ramp up the frequency of those buses. But for instance, in the community of Swords, which is over 40,000, the capital of Fine Gael, I have confirmation today that the Swords spine, the A spine, won't be delivered until Q4 2024. Now, if I'm a developer and I put in a planning application today, the sustainable and compact settlement guidelines for planning authorities apply today.
So if these regulations were to come in today, what kind of gripes would you be hearing, do you think?
Well, one of the key issues, I suppose, is that the planners a developer should be required to provide a rationale and justification for the number of parking spaces proposed and to satisfy the planning authority that these parking levels are necessary and appropriate. One of the issues that I have with this is that it requires interpretation. Now, the document actually provides a fairly decent breakdown of the three or four different interpretations of areas, including a particular distance, 500 or 600 metres, with a 5 or 6 minute walk to a 10 minute peak hour bus service. But as I've pointed out, sometimes those bus services are not in place.
That falls on the government then.
Cormac, I'm not in any way, shape, or form denying that this is our responsibility.
You are saying that this shouldn't happen until we get proper public transport services, and you're saying they're not there at the moment. And I'm saying
in certain instances, they're not happening. Yeah. And if you look at, for instance, the big project that Brian and I have discussed with you on many occasions over the years, Metrolink to Swords, Dublin Airport, and the city centre, that is 10 years away. Mm. There are some parts of the quality bus corridor network as part of Bus Connect, which will not be delivered for 5 to 7 years.
So the question arises then, Brian, should the government move in this direction before we have stuff like Metrolink?
Well, I suppose the fear will be then if we relax the parking standards and we allow maybe 2 parking spaces per dwelling, and then the public transport comes along, people will already have the cars. And as you said, it's really difficult to get people to use public transport. And if they've already baked in that alternative into their daily lives, it will become more difficult. But it is unfortunate that the public transport isn't coming as quickly as we would want it to come. But I do think that the planners in transport and in housing need to sit down and talk about this a bit more and look at the specific areas that this may impact upon and specific developments that this may impact upon. And then when Bus Connects comes on board or Lewis or Metro, and how that can alleviate. But then also the shared mobility options, how they can alleviate some of the pain that may be associated with it.
And some people just aren't up for shared mobility, are they? But maybe it's a new way. Maybe that is the transition that has to happen. Let me give you a taste of what we're getting on text here. Why would anyone exchange your comfortable air-conditioned car for a crowded, uncomfortable, sweaty, stuffy bus or train where they may not even get a seat? Says Ed. Do you have an answer for that, Alan?
Well, I travel to Dáil Éireann from Malahide and my constituency of Dublin Fingal East, as now it's called, on a weekly basis on the train, and I travel both at peak and off peak. It is a pleasant experience,
it's
but
not
I
crowded,
appreciate
uncomfortable, sweaty, stuffy.
Well, I don't find it sweaty or stuffy, but I certainly
than Dáil.
No, indeed not. I certainly accept that there are certain bus routes which are overcrowded, and that is the very purpose of the Bus Connects project, which has been rolled out not just in Dublin but across in other cities as well, and it will have a hugely beneficial impact, increased frequencies and increased destinations, because people are no longer going to just the city centre. They don't necessarily need to go to the city centre to get to their destination anymore. And I think that would be a key part of this overall project. And of course, you know, these guidelines take into consideration our national obligations, European directives and even international agreements.
Yeah, but not some practicalities, because what this texture is asking, where are delivery drivers or trade drivers, taxi drivers supposed to live, Alan?
Well, a lot of commercial vehicles are actually not lawfully permitted to be parked, particularly with the large number of private housing estates that would have been delivered in the late 90s, early noughties. There are hundreds of those across Ireland, particularly in Dublin. And just to go back to
if I'm a taxi driver and I buy in one of these new developments with no parking space, what am I to do with the car?
Well, as I've said, or as the guidelines say, and as you've outlined, the planners must receive a justification to deliver parking, but it certainly would be a detriment to individuals such as the ones that you've outlined. They might not have a choice because the estate that they might like may not have sufficient parking, or there may not be a parking space allocated to their home at some point in the future.
Wouldn't there be a fundamental unfairness, or would there be, Brian, between new developments with, let's take the nuclear option, no parking space, and then older developments with ample parking space?
Yep, and I suspect that would then impact upon the housing market, and that people would want to, you know, that the demand for those houses would be higher. And given the volume and quantum of housing that we need to build in this country over the next decade and beyond, it's really important to get this right, and that we don't, you know, kind of crowd people out of the market. Like you mentioned there about taxi drivers, but there's very little text in the document at all about those with disabilities, those that are elderly, that need their car. I would have liked to seen a lot more of that in the document and a bit more nuance around that, because I'm sure people in those situations are afraid when they see a document like this coming out saying that all cars are going to go and all cars are bad. It is a worry.
There's a fundamental difficulty here. Let me tell you a little personal story. I did a great job in the attic recently, Alan, and I took two lorry loads of recyclable material away, and I brought it up to the recycling centre, which was a 15-minute drive away. Now, if I didn't have a car, what would I do with that?
Yeah, that's certainly an issue, all right. I mean, there will have to be arrangements. Entrepreneurial people will identify the illustrious individuals who get up into their attic and remove their old stuffy. What I would say to you, just in relation to Brian's remark about disabled persons, and it is something that I picked up on in the 60-odd page document. It says the maximum car parking standards do not include bays assigned for the use by car clubs, designated short stay, on-street electric vehicle charging station, or accessible parking spaces, and it doesn't consider parking standards include the provision for visitor parking. So there is a provision there for persons with disability, for public EV charging facilities, and of course for visitors.
Okay, look, not all the questions answered, but we'll see in due course. Alan Farrell of Fine Gael, Professor Brian Caulfield of TCD, thank you very much indeed. 51551.